the weight of the world. My message today is entitled, Is Your Burden Heavy? And certainly we all are aware that there are many today who are carrying a heavy load, who are bearing what would seem like perhaps the weight of the world. Well, if that's you, I have good news for you today. The Creator of the universe, God Almighty, the Lord God Jehovah, when He came to earth, He came as a servant. And He chose that role. He chose to come as a servant. Now that is just so contrary to what we would naturally expect. Jesus chose to be a servant. King of kings, Lord of lords, chose to be a servant. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, it says, though he was God, he did not demand and cling to his rights as God. He made himself nothing. He took the humble position of a servant, of a slave. And that's the gospel. That is good news. And the gospel is the story of God becoming a servant. Today I want to unpack the significance of that. What does that mean for you and for me? What does it mean that Jesus is our servant, that Jesus is your servant? Well, in Psalm 23, probably one of the most familiar passages in the Bible, certainly the most familiar passage in the Old Testament, David tells us the significance of that, Jesus coming as a servant. And he begins Psalm 23 with the words, the Lord is my servant. Would you say those words with me? The Lord is my servant. Well, what is a shepherd? The Lord is my shepherd, I should say. Sorry about that. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself because a shepherd really is the servant of the sheep. The shepherd is a sheep servant. The shepherd gave himself to caring for sheep, for meeting the needs of sheep, for serving the sheep, for sacrificing for the sheep. And the beauty of Psalm 23, which, by the way, is also known as the Shepherd's Psalm, is in the way the shepherd, which is the Lord, serves the sheep, which is us. I want you to listen to those words in a different translation. And perhaps because these words will be a little bit different than what you are used to hearing, they'll add some freshness to our understanding. The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything I need. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. Even when I walk through the dark valley of death, I will not be afraid, for You are close beside me. Your rod and Your staff protect and comfort me. You prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You welcome me as a guest, anointing my head with oil. My cup overflows with blessing. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Psalm 23. Well, we're probably most familiar with those words from the King James Version. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Well, Miss Murphy was a Sunday school teacher, and she had assigned Psalm 23 to her class to learn and memorize. And her class on one occasion was reciting the 23rd Psalm, but somewhere she detected some confusion. So she had each of the children recite it one by one until she came to the culprit. The culprit was a little boy who was saying, "Surely, good Miss Murphy shall follow me all the days of my life." A lot of our emphasis in the church and in Christian circles is on us, you and me, serving the Lord, giving ourselves to serve the Lord. This morning, I'd like for us to ponder all the ways that God serves us. And we will see that in each of the verses of Psalm 23. So, are you ready? If you have your Bibles there at home, you may want to turn to Psalm 23. We're going to be going through each of the verses, and each one reveals a way in which God serves us. Verse 1, of course, begins with those words, "The Lord is my shepherd." And because the Lord is my shepherd, in verse 1 we see that we shall not be in want. I shall not be in want. Why? Because the shepherd cares for us. God is serving us when He cares for us. We are His responsibility. We don't need a thing because the shepherd anticipates the need of the sheep. And when we pray and tell God our needs, it's not that we do that so that He will know our needs. I mean, God is omniscient. God already knows our needs. We pray and tell God our needs, not for His benefit, but for our benefit. It's an expression of our faith. It's an expression of our conviction that God loves and cares for me. In verse 2, the first part of verse 2, it says, "He makes me lie down." So God is serving us when He revives us, when He refreshes us through rest. A few years ago, my dad had just had surgery and had just come home from the hospital, and he immediately wanted to return to life as usual. He immediately wanted to get back to work and back to doing all of those things that were a part of his normal routine. Well, my stepmom had to literally make him lie down and rest. And I think some of us are like that, maybe even most of us. And that's why God created the Sabbath. We need rest. We need to relax. We need recreation. Many of us are going at full pace, 24/7, trying to figure out this, trying to do that. And when we fail to get the rest and relaxation that we need, hey, the Lord is not above making us lie down and forcing that rest. And he is serving us when he does that. Well, the second part of that verse is beside still waters. Now, that's significant because still waters were for cleansing. So God serves us by cleansing us. Another Sunday school student thought that particular phrase read, beside distilled water. Out of the mouths of babes, they make us laugh. But actually, that's a pretty good interpretation of that. That's not too far off. Beside distilled water, beside still water, Jesus brings us to a place of cleansing, a place of forgiveness. Though our sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. At the Last Supper, before Jesus' crucifixion, he took on the work of what was traditionally the work of a servant in that culture, when he washed the soiled feet of his disciples. And as he was washing the feet of his disciples, when Jesus came to Peter, Peter thought, oh no, you cannot wash my feet. I am not worthy. You cannot wash my feet. And Jesus responded to Peter by saying, unless I wash you, I will have nothing to do with you. You see, God is so pure, God is so holy, that he cannot even look upon iniquity, and thus our need for forgiveness. And God serves us by cleansing us when he does that by forgiving our sin and keeping us clean from the soils of life. David prayed, and it's recorded for us in the Psalms, create in me a clean heart. In other words, forgive me, Lord. Verse 3, he restores my soul. God serves us by restoring us. But what does that mean? Well, let me see if I can give you an example. I have a dear friend in Michigan, Ken, who has restored an old GTO. As a matter of fact, just this week he won a big trophy as he participated in a car show there in Michigan. He took this old vehicle and had it not been for all the work that he had put into it, restoring it, it would be rusty, it would be dirty, it would be old. But he has restored it to its original condition. And that's kind of what God does with us. He restores my soul. He brings me back to the place where I should be, the place where I was. When I stray, he helps me back. When I fall, he helps me up. Have any of you ever fallen? What is the first thing many people do when they slip and fall? They kind of look around, don't they, to see who is watching. We're usually embarrassed by that. But we often fall. Sometimes we fall physically, but sometimes we fall emotionally or relationally or even spiritually. We may come crashing down, and God is there to restore us to our upright position. Sometimes we get down and we can't get back up on our own. And Jesus is there to help us. He restores my soul. And then the second part of that verse says, He leadeth me. So God serves us by leading us. Aren't you glad that God doesn't just tell us where to go? That He actually shows us where to go? I don't know about you, but there have been times when I have been given directions that are very complicated. And I've thought to myself, I'll never get there. I'll never be able to remember this. I'll never be able to figure this out. And in a couple of those occasions, the person was gracious enough to say, never mind, just follow me. I'll take you there. Just follow me. I'll show you the way. And that's what the Lord does with us. The Lord takes me. He leads me to where I need to be. He says, follow me. He takes my hand and He leads me. Reminds me of one of my favorite hymns. In our hymnal, it's found on page 439. The title of it is, He Leadeth Me, O Blessed Thought. Actually, I wanted to share with you those words, at least to the first verse. It has been said that next to the Bible, the hymnal is our most important book in Christianity. And the reason for that is because in many of the hymns that are in our hymnals, there is great theology. There is great biblical content, and certainly that is true of this hymn. The hymn writer says, He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And just a little bit of the second verse. Sometimes mid scenes of deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom, by waters still, does that sound familiar? By waters still, or troubled seas, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. Well, God also serves us, as we see in verse 4, the first part of that verse. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. What is the opposite of fear? Well, you might respond to that differently. Maybe you would think that the opposite of fear is peace or comfort. I think this verse is a picture of comfort. God serves us by comforting us. When we face the threat of death, He faced it first. When we face the threat of rejection, God's already been there, done that. When we face loneliness, He faced it first. And so He identifies with us. He understands us in our discomfort. When we are conflicted, His presence comforts us. And the second part of that verse 4, says, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff, by the way, are tools of the shepherd. They brought comfort because They are for the purpose of protecting the sheep. The rod and the staff were for the purpose of protecting the sheep. And so God also serves us by protecting us. The rod and the staff were tools that the shepherd used to guard the sheep, to protect the sheep. With the rod, he drove away threats. And with the staff, which, by the way, was basically a hooked cane, a cane that had a hook. And with that staff, he would draw the sheep back when they began to stray. So a good servant, a good shepherd, always guards and protects the possessions of the one he serves. The Apostle Paul kind of picks up on this thought and idea when he said, "I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." Let me share with you the Lovett paraphrase of that verse. "I am persuaded that he is able to protect me and all that I have committed unto him." Well, in verse 5, it says, "You prepare a table before me." So God serves us by providing for us. There are certainly times when the labor of life and the concerns of life drain us of all our strength. And the table, think about it, picture it in your mind. "You prepare a table before me." The table represents nourishment. God knows our needs and provides nourishment to fill our emptiness and to give us strength. That verse continues, "You anoint my head with oil." And here the oil has to do with healing. It means that he tends to our wounds. He bandages up our wounds. He provides healing for us. But I want you to notice one more thing about this verse. Yes, God serves us by providing for us, by healing us. But he does it lavishly. "My cup overflows." You see, our God is not a stingy God. He's not a tightwad. He does not hold back, but rather he lavishly bestows upon us his blessing. He fills our cup to overflowing. And then finally, verse 6, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This verse speaks of heaven and eternity. But I think there's more to it than that. When David speaks of dwelling in the house of the Lord, he's not just speaking of a time when we will be with the Lord in the future. He's affirming the bounty and blessing that is also ours in this present world, that is also ours right now. "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life." You see, the shepherd actually lived with the sheep. In this culture, the shepherd would leave the security and the familiarity of home and would go out into fields away from home. And they would stay there for a season. And so the shepherd lived with the sheep. He ate with the sheep. At night, he would sleep across the opening of the sheepfold to keep wild animals away from the sheep. He was literally the door of the sheepfold. That's what Jesus meant, by the way, in the New Testament when he said, "I am the door." The people hearing that in that culture would understand the significance of that. So yes, I know that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever one day, but the shepherd is Emmanuel, God with us. And for an exclamation point on that, let me say, God is with us now, in the present. We will dwell in the presence of the Lord now and forever. Well, again, I said it before. Let me say it again. Next to probably John 3:16 in the New Testament, the Shepherd's Psalm is probably one of the most familiar and one of the most quoted passages in the Bible. Many people have committed it to memory. I suspect that some of you here in the sanctuary, and certainly some of you watching online, can recite it from memory. But the real question is not, do you know the Shepherd's Psalm? The question is, do you know the Shepherd? If you are searching for God today, let me suggest that you will not likely find Him upon a high and lofty throne. It's not likely that you would find Him there, removed and distant. And I would also suggest that you're not as likely to find Him in a great temple. No, I think where you might be most likely to find the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God who serves, is where there is need in your life, where there is need for you to be served. Because our God is the God who serves. Amen. Well, let's sing together once again. This is be our closing hymn, although we do have some announcements and I want to share some prayer requests here in just a moment. But for those of you in the sanctuary, let's stand together. And maybe even those of you watching online, you may also want to share so you can sing out and affirm the wonderful message of this, another great hymn full of biblical content and great theology. Is your burden heavy? Okay, just a quick announcement, and then Tony's going to come and share some other announcements and some prayer requests. By the way, we would love to hear from you. If you have prayer requests, please go online to our website and share those with us, and we'll include those each week when we come to the Lord in prayer. You know, people have kind of a misunderstanding, I think, about what's happening in the church during the days of this pandemic. The church is not closed. The church has never been closed. And while we are not having public worship services here in the sanctuary this morning, our church is not closed. We are still very much being the church where people and our world has need. Many people are still being fed. Needs are being met. The gospel is being shared. So our church is not closed. And many other churches, though they may not be having public worship services, are still very active in being the church right where they are. Well, one of the ways that we're continuing to be the church is through prayer. And tonight, beginning at midnight, we will be having our 24 hours of prayer. And if you've not signed up for that yet, we'd like to encourage you to pick a slot and join us in praying for our city, for our state, for our church and other churches. There's a prayer guide that you can follow, although many of you have your own concerns and needs and are aware of so many opportunities that we have to pray. It starts at midnight tonight, goes for 24 hours, and we are a part of a network of churches that are seeking to cover our city and our state and our churches with prayer 24/7, every day of the month, every hour of the day. So we'd love to have you join us. We still have some slots open. So go to our website and you can sign up there to participate with us in our 24 hours of prayer. Thank you. And Tony, would you come up and close out our service?